The LA Clippers are on a three-game winning streak, and Kawhi Leonard has been the catalyst for it, playing as well as anyone in the league. But just how high of a level is Kawhi Leonard playing at lately? And a recent article by one of our very own Clipper beat writers talking about maybe a justification for Marcus Morris being in the starting lineup. Going to be talking about that and Russell Westbrook so far as a Clipper. Coming up on today's Locked On Clippers.
You Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir, you are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day, your team every day. I'm your host, Darren Vaziri, in my 18th season as a Clipper fan. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod, or subscribe, or should I say, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Dime Dropper, for more Clipper and LA sports content. Locked On Clippers is free and available on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including visually on YouTube, where I want you to comment how many players would you take over Kawhi Leonard right now that you think are playing better basketball than him right now? Not the playoffs, who you would rather take in the playoffs, but who do you think is actually playing better than him right now? And in this episode, going to be talking about just how great Kawhi Leonard is playing, giving a little more context to his latest run of play, and going to examine something that one of our good Clipper beat writers, Law Murray of The Athletic, pointed out about Marcus Morris, and talk about if it's a good justification for him starting. And then to end it off, going to close by looking at Russell Westbrook and seeing how he's done. It's been 8 games, lost the first 5, won the last 3. What's worked, what hasn't, how good's he been? Going to be talking about all that, but let's start with Kawhi. And today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is where you make your daily fantasy entries. It's actually my favorite app that we do ads for on this show. And I'm going to be talking about my picks for Monday night. So let's get right into it. Kawhi Leonard. I mean, this guy is playing at such a high level right now. In terms of Clipper history, we haven't had a guy that's this good ever. As far as the LA Clippers history, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you want to go back to Bob McAdoo, you know, I didn't see him play like that and haven't seen him play yet like that in my historical research. So I can't really comment on that. But in the LA era, we have not had a guy that plays as good as Kawhi when he's at his best. Not Chris Paul, not Blake Griffin. Kawhi Leonard is that dude. And just like that, it's been now 41 games he's played, which means that now he'll officially have played half the season, even if he was not to play another game for the rest of it. But he has just been unbelievable. And I would say he's the player of the season right now for the Clippers, just like that. Even though he's played 11 less games than Paul George. PG's at 52, Kawhi's at 41. And with 13 games left, I don't think they're both going to play every single one, but Kawhi Leonard is on track to play 50-plus games, and Paul George is on track to play 60-plus games. All PG needs to do is play 8 more games for 60. Kawhi needs to play 9 more games for 50. Clippers have 13 games left. So knock on wood, hoping that they do that. That's not horrendous. I mean, before the season, I said if Paul George and Kawhi can play 60-plus each, Clippers will be fine, but I maybe should have been a little bit more lenient considering Kawhi Leonard was coming off a torn ACL and our medical staff is extremely on the side of caution, even to his dismay at times and public dismay at times. But 50-plus for Kawhi, 60-plus for Paul George is not the end of the world. I think there are other factors as to why the Clippers haven't been as good as expected this season. And, you know, a huge problem with that is too much depth. A huge issue has been too much depth. The logjam at guard, where all of them weren't really good defensively, and Ty Lue kept playing them all at once. You know, the Robert Covington, Terrence Mann situations, Reggie Jackson falling off a cliff, Marcus Morris Sr., you know, falling off a cliff as well after like the first 2 months of the season, Paul George's inconsistent games, Kawhi Leonard working his way back, now looking like they had it figured out and they brought Russell Westbrook in, which just made Ty Lue's job harder. A lot of things. But one thing that's been constant ever since Kawhi Leonard came back against the Charlotte Hornets in December when he made that game winner in Charlotte is that Kawhi Leonard's been healthy. you know, he had that non-COVID related illness in the beginning of the year in 2023 against the Heat. But other than that, and games that he's been load managed by the medical staff, Kawhi Leonard's been pretty healthy and he's been amazing. Looking at his season stats now, listen to this. He's now only 1 minute behind Paul George in terms of average, PG 34.5, Kawhi 33. Only 0.1 in terms of our leading scorer behind Paul George, PG's at 23.7, Kawhi's at 23.6. So it's safe to say, if I were a betting man, that Kawhi Leonard is going to lead our team in points by the end of the season. Rebounding, he's 0.1 ahead of Paul George, 6.2 for P, 6.3 for Kawhi, and that's the third leading rebounder on the team after Ivica Zubac and Mason Plumlee. Assists, Paul George at 5.2 is ahead of Kawhi, who is 3.9 assists a game on average, and that's because Paul George handles the ball more in pick and roll. Steals, they're both at 1.4, but the efficiency is really where Kawhi Leonard gets Paul George. Paul George is shooting 17.7 shots per night or per game. Kawhi Leonard, 16.6 per game. PG is shooting 46% from the field, which is good. Kawhi Leonard is shooting 51% from the field, which is great. Paul George is shooting 37% from three on 8 attempts a night. Kawhi Leonard is shooting 42% from three now on 4.5 attempts a night. PG at 88% from the line. Kawhi at 87. So let me just review that for a second. Kawhi Leonard, after being at 13%, I'm sure you longtime listeners that have been listening to me since the beginning of the season will remember when Kawhi Leonard was at 13% from three, and I kept saying it's not a big deal, he's going to just have to get his legs back. And oh boy, did he get his legs back, because 42% from three on the year, I mean, he is shooting lights out. And the reason why I love Kawhi Leonard's game, besides the mid-post and all that skill stuff, he doesn't overdo the three ball. Now, the analytics might say to shoot more, but he understands his own game and what's higher percentage shots and why he's so good. He likes playing a little bit of bully ball, catching the ball deeper, closer to the basket, on the elbow, mid-post. He can turn over either shoulder, and he doesn't over-dribble. A lot of guys in the NBA these days over-dribble. He, in my opinion, stays decisive and doesn't overdo it. One or two dribbles to get to his move. Sometimes no dribbles, just face up, shoot, work off the ball a little bit. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is one of, even if he's not on the Clippers, probably top three alongside like maybe Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, my favorite players to watch in the NBA today, go to work, because I just love the way they use every single spot inside the arc, and also can hit the three ball as well, and also like to play back to basket. And Kawhi Leonard, of those three, does it the most, and that's why he's my favorite, and he's our guy. And in the last 31 games, check this out. In the last 31 games, Kawhi Leonard's averaging 27 points a night, 7 rebounds a game, 4 assists per game on 53, 47, and 90. That's well over 50, 40, 90. 53% from the field, 47 from 3, and 90 from the line in his last 31 games. So basically, just the first 10 games, you can chop those off. The last 31 games, he has been that guy. The Claw. What a legend. And right now, and that's why I ask, let me know how many people you're taking over him right now. Not going up, coming up towards the playoffs and predicting what he's going to do in the playoffs. Because when he's there, oh, I promise you, the way it's looking right now, Clippers going to have a top 5 player in the league in the playoffs. And Kawhi Leonard is one of the only players, alongside LeBron James and Giannis and Steph, that have led their team to a championship as the best player that is in contention to win a ring this year. Consensus. Kevin Durant was not consensus in Golden State. That's a debate that's still had to this day between Curry fans, Durant fans, Warriors fans, NBA fans, whatever. But Kawhi Leonard, moral of the story, he is playing as well as basically any player in the league. Not named, I'd say Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid. But I don't know, I haven't watched Celtics games in a while. So, I mean, Tatum's had a better season. But the last 30 games, has he been playing better than Kawhi? I don't know. You know, I have to watch Celtics games to tell you that. Because the other three, you know, they're just, you hear what they're doing. They're winning games. Their stats are crazy. I'm going to go with those three. But let me know in the comment, as I said multiple times, how many players do you think are playing better basketball than Kawhi Leonard right now? Marcus Morris, though, on the other hand, has been somebody the Clippers fans or Clipper fans have been wanting to be replaced from the starting lineup. There's been a lot of controversy about that. You know, he sat out the game, or they sat him against the Warriors. He was going to get pulled out. They decided against it. But Law Murray of The Athletic, a good Clipper beat writer, mentioned something interesting. And I want you to hear it and see if maybe it'll change your mind about Marcus Morris in the starting lineup. Going to be talking about that coming up. Before we do that, we got to talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy entry app around. It's my favorite app that we use. And on Monday night, here are some of my picks. But let me tell you how it works first so you can follow along. All you got to do is pick 2 to 6 players and predict if they will score more or less than the Prize Picks projections. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry, and it's not competing against anybody. It's just you versus the projections available. And it's not just basketball. If you want to do it on hockey or March Madness, I know I said basketball. I meant you don't have to just do it on NBA. You can do it on college basketball with March Madness coming up. The MLS is back. Soccer is just rampant, you know, in terms of like the European leagues right now. And entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They're safe and fast withdrawals and currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. On Monday, I'm going with the under for Jaren Jackson's points, 19.5, just a little bit more than his average. I got him hitting the under there. Jimmy Butler, I got him with the over because every game counts for the Heat right now. And against the Utah Jazz at home, I don't know why. I just feel like he's going to go for more than 25 points. And then I also got Killian Hayes on the under just because the Pacers, who they're playing, are just going to play harder because they want to make the play-in. So I think Killian Hayes will score like 12 points or less. So those are my picks. And if you want to do that, you can download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Okay, so let's talk about Marcus Morris Sr. A lot of Clipper fans have been wanting him outside the starting lineup, including me, who just thinks that he's at a point where he doesn't do enough besides, you know, shooting the ball decently, and he hasn't been shooting the ball that great lately. But besides, you know, just offering another guy that can make some mid-range shots, that can score one-on-one at times from the mid-range area, and then hit catch-and-shoot threes but doesn't really do much else, I think that there are players in the Clippers that deserve more time. But Ty Lue's personal relationship with Marcus Morris has shown to be very powerful. And I heard, and I'm not the only person that heard, that he wasn't actually injured against the Warriors. They were going to take him out of the starting lineup, and he didn't like that. And Ty Lue decided against it, played him against Memphis. And when he made 2 shots to start that comeback, you know, you knew that he was just going to continue to start. And he's been a little bit better lately. I think he was, as I said in the last episode, I think he was decent against the Knicks. But Law Murray of The Athletic wrote this in a latest article, and he said, during Morris's minutes, the Clippers grabbed 82.6% of defensive rebounds, but only 56.8% with Morris off the floor. So let me just say that. And also Ty Lue did mention that he wants to stick with Marcus, Kawhi, Zoo, and Paul, because they've been starting together since midway through the 2020-2021 season, you know, despite, you know, take away Kawhi Leonard missing all of last year, those 4 have been starting. To me, that's a weak thing, you know, just because that was good then doesn't mean it's good now, so I disagree with him there personally. And then as for the thing that Law mentioned about the rebounding percentage, now let me just keep it 100 with you guys, because all these numbers need context. And when Marcus Morris Sr. is out there, he is starting each half. You know who's out there with him in that half, in the start of each half? Ivica Zubats, our best rebounder. And when he's starting, which is always, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are also starting with him, who are 3rd and 4th leading rebounders. So those stats don't do much for me, because you got to talk about who he's out there with. The percentage of the team's rebounds gets higher because we have three of our top four rebounders there. And before Mason Plumlee showed up, it would just be Ivica Zubac, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George as our 3 leading rebounders. And let me just say this too about rebounding. Nicholas Batum averages 4.2 rebounds a game. Marcus Morris averages 4.1, and Nico plays 6 less minutes than Senior. So, I mean, there you go. And Robert Covington averages 3.6 and only plays 16.4 minutes. So you give him 12 minutes more, I guarantee you Robert Covington is averaging 5 rebounds a game. So the Marcus Morris stuff, there's no justification for it except for that Ty Lue really likes the guy and sees that, you know, he thinks that his offensive, whatever offense he sees, and that is, you know, we're not even giving him the ball like that in the mid post that much anymore, or like getting him, giving him a favorable matchup to shoot over in the post and backing him down and whatnot, because we have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George out there. We're mainly using him to hit open shots. And as I've beaten like a dead horse on this podcast, we have guys like Nicholas Batum, Terrence Mann, and Robert Covington that can do that and more. They just can't shoot those contested mid-ranges one-on-one, which if we didn't have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, yes, I see why Marcus Morris is starting. That's why he had such a great season last year. But we don't need that. And that's why before the season even began, I said that Marcus Morris's presence on the team was a bit redundant. And I took that back, but I should have just stuck with my take, just like the John Wall thing, because, yeah, it seems like everybody's been saying this now. And Ty Lue, the organization stepped in and saved him from himself with Reggie. But it looks like Marcus Morris is just the last domino left to fall. And I don't think you're going to see a change, as I mentioned before in previous episodes. I don't think you're going to see a change in that starting lineup unless he feels like his back is against the wall in the playoffs and he makes a change like we saw against Dallas 2 years ago. But coming up, going to be talking about Russell Westbrook. It's been an up and down kind of thing for Russell Westbrook in the sense that, up and down experience, I should say, not thing, that he lost the first five games and then won the last three. Going to be talking about his individual performance so far as a Clipper and what it's done for the team. Now the Clippers have managed it well or not so well. Going to be talking about that coming up. But before we do that, going to be talking to you about Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now's your time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know, I'll be voting for the raspberry bar because I don't know why. It just reminds me of those, like, those Brookside dark chocolate pomegranate candies. I don't know if you guys have those wherever you're listening, but those Brookside things, it just kind of reminds me of that. Just like a mixture of chocolate and then fruit, and I really like that combination. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. That's an amazing deal. You got to try Built. Built, the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. You won't even think they're good for you. They're literally like just like candy bars, and they have protein. And what makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, they're all high in protein, low in sugar, and covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. All right. All right, to close it out, let's take a look at Russell Westbrook so far on the Clippers. So here's how I define this. We all know about Russell Westbrook coming into the Clippers. Some people didn't like it. Some people liked it. Paul George and Ty Lue and Kawhi Leonard and the players, ultimately, majority of them wanted it. So that's why Russell Westbrook is here. So going back and talking about the Clippers shouldn't have done it and this and that, my advice, I would save those conversations for the offseason, because right now the Clippers team needs support and Russell Westbrook deserves to be supported, because at the end of the day, the Clipper front office, the Clipper players knew who Russell Westbrook was. They knew that he wasn't playing the best basketball with the Lakers. They knew that, well, maybe they didn't, that he's not an all-star player anymore. In my opinion, he'll never make the all-star team again. And I would say he's a good role player now. And I think a lot of Westbrook fans are not going to like that. But I don't think he is that version that he was in Washington anymore. It's been 2 years. He's a guy that relied primarily on athleticism. And he still has the passing mechanics. He's still quick and more athletic than a lot of our team, which isn't saying much. But when you can't shoot the ball from out, you know, mid-range or further, it's going to be hard. So as far as Russell Westbrook, I think that you've seen the good things he can do. You've seen the high turnover. You've seen him be bad without the ball and teams doubling off of Paul George, Kawhi, whatnot. But I think Ty Lue is starting to make better decisions managing him. So, Yes, I know people don't like that he replaced Terrence Mann in the starting lineup, but to me, that's not Russ's fault. I see the angle to have Russ in the starting lineup because they want a traditional point guard, quote unquote, and Paul George wanted him, and they want to get the ball to Kawhi and Paul George off the ball, but they don't have to bring it up. So that, I think, has been fine, even though Russ, though, has not had some good starts lately. But I want to just say this. First game was a really good performance, in my opinion, by Russ. Second game against the Denver Nuggets, even better performance from Russ. The game against Minnesota, really good first half, bad second half. Game against Golden State, absolutely awful. Game against Sacramento, his best one in a Clipper uniform thus far, but obviously the ball slipped out of his hands at the end. That was 0-5. That was a low point. But then the last three have been wins. And he didn't have a very good game against Memphis, but he had some good moments in the fourth. Against Toronto, he wasn't great either. And then against New York, he wasn't very great either. So the last three games, he hasn't been very good. And the Clippers have won. And I think Ty Lue has done a pretty good job managing his minutes. As we look at the game log, his last three games, he played 23 minutes against the Knicks, 23 minutes against the Raptors, 34 minutes against the Grizzlies. But against the Raptors, he actually wasn't even that bad. 7 points and seven assists. He was actually okay in that game. I just think he was a little bit quieter because he only played 23 minutes. But he actually did well in the beginning of that second half. I remember now. It was the first half he wasn't very good, especially the beginning. But second half, before he was taken out, he did some good things out there. So overall, Russell Westbrook, I think he's been solid. I think he's been about what I expected. Honestly, his passing has been better than I expected. But overall, he's been just about what I expected. A better fit for the Clippers than the Lakers. Whether you think we should have gotten him or not is up for debate. At the end of the day, the players and the coach wanted it. So they have nobody to blame but themselves if it all goes wrong. You can't just scapegoat Russ over here because he also doesn't have a $47 million price tag. And I also want to talk about his stats so far as a Clipper. And he's shooting 50.6% from the field, only 26% from three, and he's shooting three of them a game. And that's less, that's his lowest since 2011. Oh my goodness. Which, so you love to hear that. I think you should honestly just cut him out entirely. Except for like end of the shot clock ones in the corner. But for him to shoot 50.6%, we'll see if he ends the season. You know, and I'm saying just his Clipper games as a Clipper ending the season. But if he ends the season with the Clippers shooting 50% or more, that would be higher than he shot anywhere ever. So we'll take that all day. So I like that, but his turnovers have been high. Four a game is a lot. He's averaging 13 points, 7.5 assists, and 4 rebounds. So those are not bad stats. I mean, he clearly has a role. Whether you want him to close or not is a different conversation and probably the biggest. In my opinion, I'm still not fully comfortable with him closing. I'd rather have a shooter out there or a guy that plays better defense because Russ's defense has been very inconsistent. More games of bad than good because he doesn't do much getting over screens. Off the ball, he's actually been decent so far for the Clips. But I think it's mostly his effort on the ball that's been poor thus far unless he's trying to get posted up where he takes pride. But Russ, I think there is a place for him. I think what's tough is just that Terrence Mann's minutes have dropped, and that's disappointing. And it's all about Ty Lue finding that right balance. I mean, Bones Highland has been totally basically out of the equation now that Russ is here, and that's tough. But he wasn't really going to play much in the playoffs anyway. You just like to see his development in the regular season, and he gives the Clippers a different look because he still has burst too and is shifty nifty. But overall, I like Russ so far. I just think it all comes down to how Ty Lue uses him. And I think that his attitude, his smiles, you know, even games that he hasn't played many minutes, he seems happy here. It seems like Ty Lue has really been up front with him. He knows that he's on a better team overall than he was with the Lakers pre-trade. And he's back with a guy that he loves, Paul George. So I'm happy for Russ, and I want him to continue winning, whether it means he plays well or not. If he keeps winning, it doesn't matter to me because that means that he's winning as well, and the Clippers are winning, which is what I care about more than anything. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers your first listen today. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Dario Mazzieri. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dime Dropper Pod. And of course, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Dime Dropper. Make sure to comment on today's pinned question here on Locked On Clippers after you've subscribed and hit the notification bell so you know every time we post. But make sure to comment how many players you think are playing better than Kawhi Leonard right now. It's not a long list. The age-old proverb continues, go Clippers. Probably we'll have another episode before the Warriors game. I'll see you then. Go Clippers.